ethics of size. And going through the process of reflecting on an ethical issues, one point that could be asked is who is involved or what is involved in the research process. Now, obviously, this question would be rather different in different sorts of disciplines. So, if you look into human sciences, let's say psychological research, obviously, the actors within that research could be limited to only human beings. But in biology, you could have all sorts of creatures involved in the research, doing perhaps in research in information technology. You would probably have people involved in one way or another, and then you could have, in addition to people, also material resources that need to be reflected upon, and in the end you might have society as a whole, and then also you might have research that is relevant to the environment and so forth. So this is the identification process would be heavily related on the type of discipline that one is working on. But the basic question is who and what could become relevant to consider in research from the ethical point of view, and how to take into account all sorts of research types and different types of disciplines. So one would like to make a very informed decision relating to the identification, and one would like to make this identification as comprehensive as possible. So one would need to take into account direct involvement of research, that is those aspects or resources or humans or whatever you have that are directly involved, but also those that are indirectly involved. And those would be such aspects that include the forward in the chronological sense, forward looking in the sense what are the consequences of the research, what effects the research might have, but also those that are involved before the research, so to speak, that is the funding and the institution, probably for forming the research group and all that. The indirect involvement is a more vague aspect, but one should also consider what are the indirect consequences of a research, that is looking forward in appropriate way. Also, one ought to look into the theoretical as well as empirical aspects of the research. Also, one should consider the traditional aims of science, that is knowledge production, and the point of looking into the knowledge and its meaning and its relevance and its consequences and usability and so forth, but also as the scientific enterprise has grown in a way that it involves technological advances, one should also look into the effects on technology and also the effects of technology to whoever might be involved. Okay, now to take a more detailed point of view to this question, one way to look into the actors involved in action would be to divide action into the aspect of an agent and a patient. That is, one doing the action and then the one that is affected by the action. So, dividing action into two roles, so to speak, agent and patient, and then looking into what sorts of things could act as an agent, and then what sorts of things could be involved as a patient. And to further divide these categories, one could talk about living things and non-living things. And depending on one's view on ethics, these lists might be shorter or longer. Now, if we look at the objects or, let's say, patients of a moral action, one could discern among living things, humans, then other than human, animals, plants, bacteria, viruses, and other sorts of small living creatures, and environment as a whole, and the living environment as a whole. But in addition to living things, one might consider non-living things, things such as possessions. What are the, one might want to think about the consequences of possessions of individuals or companies or states or something like that. But then one might also want to think about non-living environment relating to rocks and sand and all that. And to go beyond Earth, one might want to think about space objects. Even though some of these might not be relevant in some people's minds, one ought to think about space, since the consequences might be quite devastating if not thought through. Just to give an example that is rather well known, the junk that has been accumulating in space, a nearby space in Earth, has become a problem. So the problem is that is such that satellites are in danger of being damaged by the junk that has been left into the nearby space, and this has become a major issue for space exploration and also the usage of space. And let's say that a person is involved in developing a satellite or some gadget that is installed into a satellite. One should also look into the possibility of the satellite being broken, and then what kind of a problem would that gadget be for the space in terms of junk. Non-living objects such as artifacts, works of art, let's say what to think about, let's say a pyramid, how can we research pyramids without damaging them, that might be important, has cultural value. Also, non-material things might be important. Let's say that somebody came up with a computer program or an algorithm. That might be important to consider when doing research. You might not want to destroy a certain kind of an algorithm, or you might not want to destroy information or a database or what have you. So all sorts of things might become the focus of ethical consideration. Now, getting back to the agent and patient point of view, it seems obvious that non-living things cannot be agents. Well, at least some non-living things cannot be agents. Let's say a rock doesn't make any decisions and so forth. That's rather obvious. However, the situation might become a bit more complicated when algorithms are given a role in technology where, let's say, robots are making decisions that might affect humans as well as environment. Familiar examples would be self-driven cars or robots in military use and so forth. And they might be given roles that are morally relevant. So even though humans, by and large, are the creatures that are agents in the moral sense, the situation might not be clear in all instances. I will not go any further on this issue at this point, but it's worth mentioning. As of the patient point of view, depending on one's ethical outlook, the worldview or ethical worldview, one might like to think that only humans are relevant patients to be considered in ethical review. But as time has gone by, it seems that more and more things and more different types of things are becoming relevant to the ethical consideration. And even though people might not have considered animals as conscious beings in the, say, 1800s, nowadays it is more commonplace to think that animals are morally relevant objects or patients of action. And as time goes by, more and more things, including non-living things, are considered important from the moral point of view. Okay, now going deeper, considering humans in the previous list, one can dissect, so to speak, the general term humans into all sorts of subparts, so to speak. Now, we can talk about humans as individuals or societies, and we can take a larger perspective and take culture, traditions, and so forth into consideration, as well as the artifacts produced by humans and so forth. One can see that individuals can be dissected in biological sense into blood and tissue and cells and so forth, organs. And some of these might become the object of ethical reflection. Now, some people would not want to donate blood, for example, to ethical research. Some people wouldn't want to donate tissues or cells. Some of the issues that are related to parts of humans, these biological parts, have actually turned out to be problematic from the ethical point of view. For example, just to give one example, there are cancer cells that are almost immortal in the sense that they can divide, it seems, to eternity. And some of the most aggressive cancer cells are used in research where all over the world laboratories use the same cells or originating from one individual, cells that are used in biological research. And the donator or the donor of these cells was not informed about the research originally, and it turned out to be a morally problematic situation where a person's cells were harvested and then distributed across the world for research reasons. And one might say that why should somebody's cells be taken without their consent? Going into human mind, probably the human mind, that is the psyche, seems to be for many people the most relevant part of human. And when doing research, the researcher should respect the research subject in the sense that one cannot manipulate a person, one cannot do research without consent of the person for the most part. There are obviously exceptions to these rules in certain research models, but the point that needs to be taken into account is that humans should always, and especially human individuals, should be respected, and one should take all sorts of things into account when looking into human individuals and respect their rights and so forth. So that's one aspect relating to humans as research patients. Now, human as a term can denote to societies and humanity as a whole, and one might want to think about the past, the present, and the future tenses as well. And I mention these because sometimes when researching human societies, a researcher might find out about a society some past structures that might become morally relevant. Let's say that there's a historian looking into, let's say, the Second World War, and the historian finds that some nation involved in the war has very consciously tried to demoralize the enemy by instigating systematic rapes. And the information is embarrassing for the nation involved. And one could ask whether the historian should consider publishing such information or not. Or another example, If, let's say, a tribe has been found to in being involved in cannibalism in the past, should this information be published, because it might embarrass the descendants of that tribe? So the ethical issue might rise even from the past, because humans are historical beings in the sense that we are partly what we are because of our past, and people might consider their history as part of themselves, and therefore the issue might rise. Also, researching cultures or traditions might be ethically rather challenging. Let's say that there's a culture that is being researched, and as it often is, the research affects the culture itself. And should we respect a culture to the point where we should not, as researchers, affect the culture as such? Perhaps we shouldn't give information that we have found out about the culture if that information is to change the culture. Or perhaps we should in certain situations. Nevertheless, one should be aware of this sort of an aspect. And these questions become relevant in anthropology and all cultural studies and that kind of research. And the same goes to organizations and institutions. What is the responsibility of a researcher when doing research on organizations or institutions or what have you? Also, the artifacts that are created by humans might be relevant here. Humans are peculiar creatures in the sense that they might consider their possessions, be it material or immaterial, part of themselves. That is, so to speak, extended humans or extended parts of humans. Let's say that I have written a poem. I might somehow think that the poem is in some sense part of me. Then if somebody researches my poem, I might take it personally, and perhaps the researcher should consider the ethical aspects of the analysis of my poem, just to give a silly example. People might consider their possessions part of themselves, and this has become, I think, more relevant when looking into data, information, and ideas and ideologies. Immaterial stuff that are produced by humans might be considered as part of the humans that have produced them. And especially when looking into data and data science and information sciences, the issue of what the object of research is has become very important, and we should try to come up with solutions to ethical questions relating as to what is the nature of data, information, and knowledge, and so forth, and perhaps moral issues that rise from these questions can be solved. My personal view on the issue as to what is the state of research or ethical research on these issues is that we are nowhere close to having clear guidelines as to how to research data and how to respect the research subject involving immaterial things. Right. So, this video is about identifying the involved who and what are relevant when considering ethical research. And I hope that this will give a wide enough horizon relating to this question.